Geek Radio Daily. It's all the geek without the wait for Monday, December 7th, 2009, a podcast that lives in infamy.
Oh, nice.
What? Oh, thank you. I was wondering if it was maybe too soon. Maybe. I'm just asking.
Could be.
I don't know these things. Good morning. Welcome. Starting off a new week. Of course, you have Flintstress.
God, how can a person not sleep? I could sleep right now.
I'm sure you could.
It's hard for me not to sleep.
That's very true.
Gosh, that is true.
I've seen you in action. I, of course, am Billy Flynn.
The Goyles and Billy asking for you.
Well, tell them I'm right here. Welcome. Starting off a new week. What you got for us?
Well, starting out with today in history, we have on this date in 1784, David Wilkinson of Rhode Island patented the first screw.
It took that long?
Well, now you can know. He's like, I invented sex.
Okay. Well, December 7th, of course, 1926, the gas refrigerator was patented. The ice cubes could not have tasted well.
You skipped 1787 when Delaware became the first state to ratify the Constitution.
Oh, I don't recognize them. 1934, Wiley Post discovered the jet stream. There it is.
Wiley. What kind of name is Wiley?
I have no idea. His last name is Post.
Of course, the most famous thing to ever happen on December 7th was this is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. About 3,000 American lives were lost and 19 ships were sunk or damaged.
I promise you I am not playing a Pearl Harbor drop today.
Okay.
Not one. Pearl Harbor sucked. 1968, Richard Dodd returned a library book that his great-granddad took out in 1823. It was 135 years late.
Our librarian listeners are really cringy, yeah, but at least he brought it back.
I know. There's a victory for us.
I wonder what his fine was.
I bet they all know about this. This was probably like library school. This is one we caught.
Library 101. In 1969, PBS TV network was inaugurated.
The second most famous thing that happened on December 7th, 1979, Star Trek the Motion Picture opened in theaters.
And well, boldly went.
Yes, it did. Is that all you got?
Well, no, I had 1999. We were just talking about this. The RIAA filed a lawsuit against Napster for a file-sharing client on charges of copyright infringement. We were just talking about how that's one of those generational things.
Yep.
You're either old enough to have downloaded something from Napster when it was free.
Or you bit
towards
it. Or
you're too. Yeah, right.
Happy birthday going out to Jennifer Carpenter. She's 30. She's Deborah Morgan on Dexter. She was Lisa in White Chicks, for which we'll love her forever.
We have Shiri Appleby, 31. She's Liz Parker on Roswell.
C. Thomas Howell, 43. He was in The Hitcher. He was Soul Man. Come on, My Secret Admirer.
He's 43?
Yeah, he is. Huh? Yeah.
Jeffrey Wright today is 44. He was Felix Leiter in Casino Royale.
Priscilla Barnes is 54. She was Terry on Three's Company. I'd still knock on her door anytime.
I bet you would.
Topless fortune telling. She was fantastic.
And I have Larry Bird, famous basketball player, is 53 years old.
Ellen Burstyn, 77. She's been in a bunch of things.
That's all I had.
Eli Wallach, 94. You've seen him on so many things, you don't even know it. And this, of course, would have been the birthday of one Ted Knight. Ted Baxter on Mary Tyler Moore. He was on Too Close for Comfort. And, of course, he was the judge in Caddyshack, for which we will love him forever. In fact, it's probably playing somewhere tonight on TV.
Well, it's not on CBS.
No?
They've got their normal Monday lineup of How I Met Your Mother, Accidentally on Purpose, 2 and a Half Men, The Big Bang Theory, and CSI Miami.
Over on ABC, Santa Claus is coming. Hey, to town.
And he's doing a foxy two-step.
And it's awesome. It's, you know, those stop-motion Rankin Bass kind of things. It's
narrated by Fred Astaire.
Absolutely. Find My Family for 1 hour is on, followed by Castle. So just an eclectic night of television.
Yeah. NBC has back-to-back episodes of Law & Order SVU coming at you in the Jay Leno Show.
That's because they couldn't possibly compete with Fox in the Carrie Underwood All-Star Holiday Special.
Wow.
There's little skits. It's not the Barbara Mandrell Show, really.
No. Maybe some of the teeny boppers instead. Did I really just say teeny boppers?
You did.
We'll be on.
Talking about being old.
Watching the CW for One Tree Hill, Gossip Girl, and TMZ.
Oh, that's entirely possible. Bravo Chef Academy tonight. A bun in the oven. Thought this was a cooking show. Get away with the turkey baster.
Bum chicken mau mau. ABC Family is starting off with bad Christmas movies. Unaccompanied Minors.
Oh,
remember, they're
God,
all in the
I
airport.
Do.
And Jack Frost.
Oh, okay. Something Comedy Central is going to try to balance it out with Beer Fest, the Broken Lizard guys.
It's been on a lot lately.
You
have
to turn the boot.
Right,
turn
right. Boot. Turn das Boot. Bravo has... Oh, no, we already said that. FX has The Departed. They play that again. And followed by The Fan.
Oh, okay. Turner Classic Movies, Mr. Deeds Goes to Town. The original 1938, I want to say it was.
Adam Sandler version was pretty funny.
Sneaky, sneaky.
There's a premiere of a TV show called Men of a Certain Age on TNT tonight.
Oh, why not? But if we're watching anything, it's going to be on the Hallmark Channel because, suspicious of his brother's new bride, a young man meddles in their lives. Tonight, Thomas McCarthy and Mary Louise Parker star in Saint Maybe.
You got mail, baby.
Yes, indeed we do. Fox is reprehensible. They have the ambivalence of Oprah at an all-you-can-eat buffet. Wow, they went there. They commission and program excellent sci-fi shows only to blast them out of the air and into oblivion. Well, yeah. To disc, anyway. I never will forgive them for Firefly, not to mention Strange Luck, Brimstone, etc., which leads me to the following. Joss Whedon needs to get in on Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Admittedly, I couldn't get through the book. Really redundant after the first chapter, but it would be a kick-ass flick like Buffy with sexual repression and those big dresses. Ask me if I'd love to cast that one. Okay, taste is subjective. Still, I'd strongly suggest not watching Dan in real life. Steve Carell is his usual good. However, as far as the script goes, two words come to mind, cliched and cloying. Ooh.
Wow.
I stopped halfway. Yeah, I never finish anything. Just ask the old girlfriend. Though I finished her a few times. Whoa, zinger, out of nowhere. And I got it for free. From one of our fine VA public libraries. Get Short Bus instead. Just kidding. Don't. That's from JB over in Blacksburg. Thank you for that, JB. And please get back to your medication. I think you'll enjoy it immensely. If you'd like to leave us a note, won't you please? It's the podcast Billy Flynn, Vicar the Bruce, and Flintstress. All of us available at geekradiodaily.com. Hey, the bell works. You got to like that. Monday, got to look at your box office results and a look at your geekified news coming up this Monday, December 7th edition of Geek Radio Daily.
Great coffee.
Hey. Chad, who's that strange, somber man on the cover of that book you're reading?
Oh, that's H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, I've heard of him, but I never really got into his stuff. It's kind of strange and hard to read.
No, I used to think that too, but that all changed when I started listening to the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast.
What's that?
The H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast is a weekly podcast.
Tell me more. Well,
these two really smart and hilarious guys give a synopsis of the story, then they talk about its background, the critical views, and what it says about the author.
Well, where can I listen?
Let me tell you, Chris, you can go to hppodcraft.com or, heck, just subscribe through iTunes. It's that easy.
Oh, Chad, I'm so excited. Now I can listen to this podcast and pretend to all my snooty friends that I actually read and understand H.P. Lovecraft.
Hey, that's what I do.
Oh, dear.
Yeah! HPPodcraft.com.
Hi, this is Martin from the NNL show from GroovyMantras.com, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Yes, indeed, you are. Geek Radio Daily for Monday, December 7th, 2009. I swear to God, I almost said 1941. So December 7th, you know, it just
goes together. It's linked.
It really, really, really does. So, yeah, welcome. It's Monday.
The buzz is any indicator. That movie's going to make some huge bank.
Oh, and, yeah.
Because people went to the movies. They saw things.
And at number 10, new this week, was called Everybody's Fine.
It made about
a little more than $4 million.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, that's right. It's me.
Yeah, it's you again. It's been a while, hasn't it?
This week's number 9 was last week's number 7, Planet 51. Oh, that cheesy animated movie with The Rock.
Yeah. Dwayne Johnson, please.
Oh, sorry. Number 8 was Ninja Assassin.
Rain!
Yeah, I've heard this is awful. Well, this is terrible. But who knows?
I've heard it has very little to do with ninjas, which is odd since it has the word ninja in the title.
You'd think, right? Number 7 plummeted from last week's number 3 was 2012, Disaster Porn. But it still made, you know, it made over $6 million.
Yeah, but it hasn't made its budget back yet, so.
So we might not get 2013?
Maybe. Yeah, the TV show might not happen after all.
And at number 6, new out this week was Armored. It made about $6.6 million.
Oh, okay. Number 5, last week's number 4, Old Dogs.
Really, people? Really?
$6.9 million.
Seth Green, we're looking at you.
It's been out 2 weeks. It hasn't quite made its budget back. It's a little over $1 million shy of its budget, so there's that.
God.
Number 4, last week's number 5, look at there, Christmas Carol picking up steam as we roll into the holidays. Coincidence?
Why didn't it come out like right before the holidays?
Because you're going to want to watch it again and again. It's in 3D, you know. $7.5 million made $115 million on a $200 million budget. Number 3, Brothers opened up. That's the Tobey Maguire and Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh, I'm a Marine and I'm dead. So, oh, I'm the brother. Here's your wife. Let me do her. Oh, you're not dead. Oh, drama ensues. Jerry Springer, the movie, like before they get there. That's what that is. It made $9.7 million. No, it looks interesting. Let's see. Number 2, last week's number 1, The Twilight Saga. New Moon makes another $15.7 million. Ladies and gentlemen, $255.6 million in 3 effing weeks.
Wow.
Really? Oh, hush. And the number 1 movie in America was last week's number 2. How often does this happen?
Not often.
The Blind Side. Sandra Bullock, and they knock vampires out of the way to number 1, making $20.4 million. That thing cost $29 million. It's made $129 million, so that means everybody's happy.
I don't care what you say. I know I would like it. I know I would cry, and I think it looks really sweet. movie.
I would rather watch that 100 times before ever seeing New Moon. Okay. I'm just saying that. Or, as it said, I would rather a bear... No, no, no. That's, we can't talk about that here.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So, hey, do you happen to have an email account? Perchance, is it from Yahoo?
Yahoo!
Well, if so, they're not happy right now that a little memo, if you will, of the spying services it provides to law enforcement and spy agencies has been leaked onto the web.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yahoo had blocked a Freedom of Information Act release of its law enforcement and intelligence price list, and someone helpfully provided a copy of that to everybody else. The 17-page guide says that they tried to suppress legal letters, blah, blah, blah. Basically, everything that you write on Yahoo, which is the government is just reading it. Sure, they can do that with everybody's, but we have proof positive that Yahoo's doing it, and they didn't want anyone to know about it, and they wanted to cover that up and keep it secret, like the affairs you have when you use Yahoo Mail.
Wow.
Wow, I went there. I don't know what that's about.
How about some good news?
Please.
Today, the Interior Department officially announced that they are taking the brown pelican off of the endangered species list.
Nice.
The pelican...
We
like,
saved one.
Like the bald eagle and the peregrine falcon, was decimated by the use of pesticides, DDT. If you're not familiar, what it does is they eat the fish that are tainted, and then when they lay eggs, it's too thin for the eggs to make it through the whole process and develop into birds.
And it looks really nasty when they show you that film in science class.
So, but they've really been working hard at maintaining the habitat and protecting the birds so that they're flourishing in the Florida area, Georgia, kind of all around in the South, especially Louisiana has a brown pelican on their logo. They're not logo, they're not a company, but you know what I mean. Yeah. So it's not out of the woods. They're still trying to keep an eye on it, but it is officially off the endangered species list.
Fantastic. That's fabulous even, but Ron Livingston wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say it's fabulous. In fact, if you dare say that he would say it's fabulous, he just might sue you.
He can say fabulous, just not
turns
fabulous.
Out that on a Ron Livingston, of course from Office Space and Defying Gravity, his Wikipedia entry has someone that keeps hacking it saying that he is gay and living with a... with someone in Hollywood, California. He's recently married and not at all happy about this, the fact that it keeps happening. So he has now decided to sue Wikipedia. So I'm not exactly sure why, for saying that you're gay. You can't, the courts have ruled that you can't sue someone for saying you're gay because that's not defamation of character, because it's not a bad thing
right.
to be gay. So you might be bothered by that, but all you've really done is made sure that everyone is going to continuously check your Wikipedia page to make sure that you're still gay, Ron. God. I love you, dude, but come on.
And who has really the time or the desire for revenge to do that to somebody, to just go on all the time and hack their Wikipedia page? It's just crazy.
Really?
Get a life.
The internet people.
I guess.
Okay.
Well, I don't really have a good transition for this one, but
sure you
have
do.
You heard of Strange Matter?
Yeah, sometimes I've seen it in Defying Gravity, a show with Ron Livingston.
Oh.
There you go.
It's early in the morning.
It is.
Have to
Sorry.
See, I was thinking more along the lines of Star Trek and the Red Matter.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. Well, if you think black holes are strange, they've been talking about these powerhouses of the universe are collapsed stars, you know, with gravity so strong, even light can't escape. We all know that. But maybe they're not strange enough. There's stellar black holes, but then there may even be something called quark stars or strange stars or somewhere in between, you know, those types of things. A physics team led by, I swear to God, this is his name, Zoltan Kovacs.
Zoltan.
At the University of Hong Kong has been saying they're only theoretical right now. And I'm like, okay, so this is news. But they've really made a lot of progress toward possibly proving that these things exist. And they found one where they thought it was it, but it wasn't quite it. So, but they're on the lookout. And this, I don't know what exactly the ramifications would be, but it would be really cool.
Zoltan. Okay. Well, Twitter. Everybody loves Twitter.
Dude.
What?
Dude.
Oh, right. Everybody loves Twitter. And shouldn't everyone be able to use it? Even people that can't talk? I mean, not people that are mute or anything. I mean like babies. Why should being a baby and having no speech ability whatsoever stop you from using it?
Because no one wants to hear what they have to tweet?
Well, that's not exactly true. Because Twaddler is a prototype product developed by a team at Hassett University that consists of a revamped Fisher-Price toy hooked up to a computer that translates when the kids start smacking around the switches. How those are switched around are given a somewhat of a text interpretation of that, so you know, I guess, what the kid is doing. The creators explain, the software captures sensor data from the activity center and tries to select a predefined text that is related to that sensor data. We're extending the system so it becomes easier to relate certain patterns of sensor readings with a set of strings. For example, when Yorin plays with mommy's picture for over 3 minutes, a Twitter message will be posted saying, @mommy_Yorin. Yorin misses mommy and looks forward to playing with her this evening. Or when Yorin is hitting the doorbell button 4 times in a row, a Twitter message will say, Yorin is showing off his music skills with a new tune. We hope to even support dynamic composition of new strings in the future. Because, we haven't gone entirely too far with this, because only in America would you come up with something that would continue to let you know everything about everyone that you never, ever, ever wanted to know.
And didn't Homer Simpson's brother invent this?
He certainly did. So I think someone should be suing real soon. Hopefully, we'll get a slice of that. I don't know how.
For blowing the whistle?
I'm letting that one go. Geek Radio Daily, licensed under the Creative Commons Attributions, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Drop by that thing that all the cool kids, because goddamn we're old, called iTunes. Subscribe while you're there. Write a review. Sing a song. And get yourself some episodes of Matlock. Send us a message to podcast Billy Flynn, Vic, or the Bruce of Flintstress, all at geekradiodaily.com.
So let's dance. The man's a menace. All night, all night. Cut that off! Music is a violation of my personal privacy. He's breaking the law.
Really? You know, I've always been fascinated with the law, sir.
Oh, really? What areas?
Oh, all areas. Personal privacy, noise statutes. You know, I plan to go to law school after I graduated, but, looks like my folks won't have enough money to put me through college.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers, too.